Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is the last Sunday of the church year. It's a time there where here in the church we commonly speak about end times, the glorious time of our Lord's return. And having prepared a sermon from this gospel text before us this morning, it's like, well, it's like a Good Friday sermon, really. But you must know, my dear friends in Christ, we have redemption. We celebrate with all the saints the glory of that rich and lavish gift of God, won for each of us by Christ upon the cross, which is the forgiveness of all of our sins. Our text then for the sermon this morning is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, especially the verse, "For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Jesus spoke these words to us as he was carrying his cross on his way to Calvary. The women that were scattered all along the route, they wailed and mourned in seeing that Jesus, that in him, the one whom had come to save them from everything, they'd come to trust him. They had faith in Jesus, the one in whom they placed everything, and now a great miscarriage of justice had been done. A truly innocent man dying a criminal's death. In the eyes of our Heavenly Father, it was far worse. The only absolutely righteous man on the face of the earth, the very Son of God himself, was dying the death of all sinners. He was dying for the whole world, and he was making this ultimate sacrifice. You see, Jesus is the green wood, or the tree. Some Bibles say it's tree. And this green wood is full of life and breath. Yet he's cut down in the very prime of his life, in what seemed to be the middle of his ministry, and he was nailed to the cross. So it's absolutely quite natural for one to say, "Oh my, what a tragedy." But Jesus says, "The wood is green. What will happen when it is dry?" A dry, dead, twisted tree would be what? Rightly removed and thrown away, huh? It cannot bear fruit, and its wood is too unhealthy for almost anything else, but maybe to be thrown into the fire. In the context of what's taking place in and around our text this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is making reference to the terrors of the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the entire world. He says, "For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" Those are the days of terror for the Jews. It was the destruction of their holy city and of their temple. And quite frankly, the entire religion was being demolished. All the things that the Jewish nation thought they had, and they thought it had it made for them, because they were chosen people of God, everything would be burnt to the ground. The favor of God was being turned away from them. all because they had now here in the crucifixion of Jesus, they rejected the Messiah, the one whom God had sent. So today in our hearts and minds, we're fixated upon the second coming of our Lord at the end of the world on that wonderful and glorious day. That day, luckily, you know, luckily it'll be the day of final terror for every unbeliever. Unbelievers will be witnesses to God tearing apart everything. He'll tear apart the heavens and the earth. They will know that their judgment is an eternal death, and it's getting really near. All because they had rejected Jesus Christ. This end will come for every unbelieving sinner when they die and go into their judgment. They're going to face a terrifying end because they did not trust nor hold faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they'll basically go from death to, well, an eternal death. They'll go there because of their wandering, spiritually dead. They had been those dead trees all along, shriveled and withered, dried up and not good for much of anything else. Their death is so much worse than the death of Christ. You see, he suffered unimaginable torment. The Bible tells us the scourging, the pain, the whipping, all the terrible things that Christ endured during his trials, let alone being nailed to a cross and dying a death by crucifixion. It's pretty gross. It is rated R, but it's awesome. It's a terrible way to die. Yet the death of unbelievers will be much worse. You see, Jesus' torment, it was but for a moment. Their death will be for an eternity. You see, Jesus, the divine God-man himself, is divine. His death was precious in the sight of God. You cannot destroy the green tree by cutting it down. Even from a stump, in the eyes and works of God himself, there comes a sprout. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said? There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Isaiah had prophesied that even as the green tree would be cut down, and our deliverer would rise victoriously. But what about the rest of mankind? We're not holy in ourselves. We're not full of life, really, especially any life everlasting. We're not innocent and pure. Perhaps some of us are far from it. Our deaths are the rightful payment for our sins. We are all by our sinful, dead, shredded, and shriveled dry wood. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have redemption. If Christ, who is righteous, had to suffer upon the cross, how much more do we sinners need to suffer? How much more do we deserve to suffer? We deserve not a few hours of torment, but an eternity of anguish in hell. After all, what else can you do with dry, unhealthy wood except throw it into a fire? So then we see that there is a harsh warning actually emanating from the cross of Christ. But there's another good news. There's a wonderful message that comes from the cross as well. There's another meaning we can draw from Jesus' words today. The life that is in the green tree can be given to others. By the gift of faith, God grafts us onto the green tree, and his life flows into us. Repentance rejects all that is ours, while faith lays hold to that which is Christ. In this way, the Holy Spirit attaches us dry, dead branches to a green tree, Christ Jesus our Lord. We become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's in the very same way how our Lord Jesus said to us, I am the vine, you are the branches. Our life is in Christ. In him, our Lord, we have life, and we have it life eternally. To give us life, Jesus had to suffer. Just as a tree must be cut down in order to graft branches unto it, it has to be cut. Surely Christ has borne our griefs and sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The sap of his life flows into us. It is his blood that runs from the cross, shed from his veins. His blood is flowing out to us by the power of the Spirit through the Word and Holy Sacraments. His holy blood comes to us through absolution and preaching, through baptism. And this, the sacrament of the altar that we share this morning. Everywhere in this divine service that we celebrate today, his lifeblood is flowing through it. His blood is for us. His life is our life. Now that our life is hidden in Christ, we've got to expect our lives to resemble his. Since we are now green wood through justification by his blood, then we also will suffer in the image of his suffering. So, my friends, don't be surprised when Satan will pursue you. Don't think twice that the world wants to persecute you. Even your own sinful flesh will wage a vicious war against you. You must carry your cross now in this life. But be of good cheer. You are green wood through Christ the crucified. So you'll only suffer a little while here in this life. It's true. But in Christ you are living, and therefore that which is done during this life, the pain that we experience here, the illnesses that we endure, the loss of a loved one that we happen to have to go through, the persecution for our faith, all of this, and our Lord even told us, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nor does any of your present crosses compare to the glory and joy that you and I will have in paradise. Look to the cross. See there upon the cross your redemption. There is your life, both in the trials you face and in your salvation, which Christ himself has won for you. In his name, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.